You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are presented by DraftKings. Love those dudes. Make sure you always use the code Ross when you're over there for anything, including the season win totals being out that we talked about on yesterday's Even Money Betting Podcast. That was awesome. We had Steve's instant reaction to the new hybrid kickoff rule, and the season win totals are out at DraftKings Sportsbook, and Steve was all over it. 10.5 for Joe's Atlanta Falcons. He calls him Farty Artie. 10.5. He's not there anymore. Looking forward to talking with Joe in momentarily. Of course, Joe is the star of this show at FG_Dolan on social media, the original fantasy gangster. I am merely Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Those of you that either check out the social media clips at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod, or watch the show or the clips on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. You can see the helmets of the teams I played for. They have this cool thing too. You can just Google it and you can see that as well. There's a lot to get to because I can't remember a time where we've seen this many free agent running backs changing teams. There's a lot to get to on today's episode with Joe, so I'm not going to dilly-dally. We might have a little bit more time, actually, to dilly-dally the next couple weeks when we talk about tight ends, when we talk about wide receivers and their new landing spots. But, Joe, I feel like we got to dive right into it with the running backs. And, man, we're starting, like, Joe, at the top of the food chain. I mean, we're talking about Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry. Let's start with Saquon, where the Eagles sort of went out of character to give big money to a running back.
Yeah. And look, Howie Roseman was down at the owners' meetings and was discussing how, you know, people are like, oh, Howie Roseman's not going to spend money on a running back. He's not going to spend capital on a running back. And as a matter of fact, you might recall on this podcast last year, I said that if Howie Roseman drafted Bijan Robinson, I was going to jump off my roof. And we never even got the opportunity to see because Atlanta drafted him at number 8 overall to give him fewer carries than Tyler Allgeier. I don't think he actually had fewer carries than Tyler Allgeier, but it felt like that. But then this offseason, paying Saquon, you know, it was something that I just did not think was going to be in the cards for the Eagles. And then you start to get the buzz before free agency opens up and you're like, hey, don't count out the Eagles here. And there were reputable sources who were like, this is real. This is real. And then this deal was announced pretty early during the legal tampering period. And I guess the NFL's investigating all of that. Like, I don't know. That doesn't mean anything to me because why would you, I don't understand why these deals can't become official. That's neither here nor there. Saquon finished as the running back 8 last year with the Giants after running back 5 in 2022. So he declined a little bit. And here is the thing about Saquon. Let's compare him to DeAndre Swift. Last season, DeAndre Swift ranked one spot behind Saquon Barkley with a 4.8% explosive run rate, which was 13th in the NFL. But I think you have to look at some of these stats, some of these rate stats, and understand that they're not all apples to apples. And this might lean into the, oh, the running backs are a product of their offense kind of argument. DeAndre Swift having a lower explosive run rate, which we at Fantasy Points Data define as a run of 15 or more yards, than Saquon Barkley is much more of a red flag for DeAndre Swift than Saquon Barkley, in my opinion. Because you have to understand that the Eagles' offensive line, by every metric last year, was elite. The Giants' offensive line by every metric last year, was not. So, Saquon Barkley, who averaged more yards after contact per attempt than DeAndre Swift, I want people to understand that something I've been thinking about with Saquon Barkley is that I don't think all yards after contact are created equal. Now, more yards after contact is obviously better than fewer yards after contact. But Ross, think about this. Think about a running back getting a head of steam behind a big hole that, let's say, the Eagles offensive line generates, and how much harder it is for a second level defender to bring him down on first contact than it is, so say, Saquon Barkley, who's searching for a hole behind a bad offensive line, and then he gets taken down by a big defensive lineman at the point of attack. This is why I don't think all yards after contact are created equal, because I wouldn't be surprised if Saquon Barkley, if he gets a more head of steam behind the Eagles offensive line, and remember, Jason Kelce retired, so the Eagles offensive line, while still good, might not be as good. I feel like Saquon Barkley has an opportunity to kind of recapture some of that magic in Philadelphia. I also believe, from a fantasy standpoint, the Eagles view him as a Christian McCaffrey-type math changer. He's somebody who is going to have to change the way teams play against the Philadelphia Eagles. DeAndre Swift had 1,000 yards last season. He had a good season, but he was disappointing as a receiver, and there is no doubt defensive coordinators did not stay up at night to plan for DeAndre Swift. If they gave him carries, they gave him carries. Now, with Kellen Moore in there, you might have to plan for how the Eagles are going to play offense, because in theory, they have great to elite playmakers at every skill position. At X receiver, A.J. Brown, Z receiver, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert to tight end, now Saquon Barkley, and then, of course, Jalen Hurts. With the Jalen Hurts factor, you have to think Saquon's touchdown upside is capped, because the Eagles are still going to run the tush push this year. It wasn't banned by the NFL, so they're still going to run it. I think Saquon is a second round pick in fantasy football. Maybe some people will think he's a first round pick. I'm not there yet. I think it's a very intriguing signing to see how a forward thinking team like the Philadelphia Eagles look to deploy a guy in Saquon Barkley, who's been very good in the NFL, probably hasn't lived up to his draft status. And the question is, how much has the team he's played on affected the fact that he hasn't quite lived up to his draft status?
And what's interesting to me, Joe, is like, we can talk on this show about the money that the Eagles are paying Saquon, but that's really, and whether or not it's worth it and all that stuff. And we talk about that on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast or my Ross Reports. That's really not relevant for fantasy football, other than they've made a major commitment to make this guy. Like, the money they've invested in Saquon for fantasy football, fantasy perspective, is only a positive. We don't care about the Eagles salary cap for fantasy football.
Nope.
We care about the commitment to the player, which clearly the Eagles have a significant one with Barkley and believe he's going to be worth it. I actually also thought, Joe, it was surprising and a little out of character for the Packers to pay Josh Jacobs almost $15 million for this season. Now, they got a four-year, $48 million deal. So part of that's just kind of how the Packers structure their deals, with no guaranteed money after year one. But still, they're getting $15 million this year.
Yep.
And they basically decided, when Aaron Jones wouldn't take as much of a pay cut as they wanted, you know what? If we're going to get a running back and we're going to pay for it, let's get a younger, more durable guy. At least that's the way John Kuhn framed it to me on Monday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I think they wanted to bring back Aaron Jones, but when he kind of balked at the money they were offering, they pivoted and said, let's get a more durable, younger player with that money.
Yeah, so Josh Jacobs, again, remember, he led the NFL in rushing in 2022 and was the running back 4 in half PPR fantasy points per game. He fell all the way to running back 18 last year in fantasy points per game. Also missed some time. And as you said, Josh Jacobs has been pretty durable. He's handled at least 260 touches for 5 straight seasons, all of which he played with the Raiders franchise. But he did miss some time last year. But what's funny to me is, Among the 49 running backs with at least 100 carries, Josh Jacobs was the third unluckiest or least efficient, depending on how you want to look at it, in terms of expected fantasy points per game. The only two who were worse, and expected fantasy points is something Scott Barrett came up with at Fantasy Points. And what it essentially is it mathematically creates what the average player in average conditions is expected to gain based on his touches, his touch locations, his touch quality. Josh Jacobs was the third worst in that category. The two who were worse than him were also running backs who changed teams this offseason, Austin Ekeler and Tony Pollard. So it's going to be interesting to see if Josh Jacobs can bounce back. We talked about yards after contact per carry. Jacobs fell to 2.29 last season after he was incredible in that department at 3.23 in his excellent 2022 season. Fantasy Points data had Jacobs as the best running back in the game in 2022. The Raiders zone blocking scheme, he was fantastic. He had a 66% success rate on zone carries. Last year, that cratered to 49%. But the Packers' offensive line is a nice upgrade. Las Vegas opened just 1.37 yards before contact per carry on non-scramble runs. Last year, that was bottom 10 in the NFL. The Packers were much better in that department. They were top 10 in that department. So Josh Jacobs is betting on the change of scenery heading to Green Bay, where Green Bay also, by the way, re-signed A.J. Dillon. I was actually going to argue on the day that Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley both signed, I was going to make an argument that I think you could take Josh Jacobs over Saquon Barkley. That was before the Packers brought A.J. Dillon back, which was a little bit of a surprise to me that they brought A.J. Dillon back. But Josh Jacobs is locked in as a second-round kind of pick. Maybe if you're a running back drafter like Saquon, you can talk yourself into him in the back half of the first round. This is where Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to make his hay. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon last year scored just 4 rushing touchdowns on 29 carries inside the 10. That was 13.7%. Jacobs, over the last 3 seasons, is at 31.8% scoring touchdowns on such carries. So you would think Josh Jacobs is going to have opportunities to score the football at the goal line. That is one of the areas where he was better than A.J. Dillon, significantly so, over the last number of years.
I was actually surprised they even brought back A.J. Dillon. It seemed like that situation had kind of run its course. You know what never runs its course? Me drinking Labatt Blue Lights because they're delicious, especially this weekend, Sweet 16. Love it. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. While I'm using my code Ross over at DraftKings, I'll be drinking some Labatt Blue Lights with friends, living life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Joe, we got to keep it moving with an oft-discussed move going back to the trade deadline. It actually happened. I think that might have been your tweet, Joe, when it happened. That FG underscore Dolan. It actually happened. Derrick Henry signed with the Baltimore Ravens.
First and foremost, Ross, let's offer thoughts to anybody in Baltimore affected by the tragedy this morning with the Key Bridge. Obviously, it was horrifying to wake up to, and just thinking about anybody who's out there with the rescue efforts, anybody affected by that. Before we get into just discussing Derrick Henry, just a tragedy there in Baltimore. Very unfortunate to see that. There's no easy way to transition to just say, hey, let's go talk about football, but that is what we do on this podcast. Henry, it's just so impossible for me to think of a fit that was this perfect, and then it just happened. I would have been just kind of upset if he signed anywhere else. I think the Texans, you could have talked me into it, but I think it's just a great value play. Even at age 30, I don't think Henry is washed by any stretch. We just mentioned that yards before contact on non-scramble runs. The Titans offensive line was second worst in that department last year. Despite all of that, Henry posted top 10 marks by yards after contact again. So I told you, let's circle this back to the Saquon Barkley argument where I'm like, I don't think all yards after contact are created equal. I think if a running back is getting contacted 3 to 4 yards down the field on average, it's easier for that running back to get yards after contact because he has momentum, as opposed to a running back who's trying to search for a hole behind an offensive line that's collapsing, because that running back simply has less momentum than the guy who gets contacted down the field. Now, Derrick Henry, he was 6th in yards after contact this past season and 6th in explosive run rate, despite the fact that the Titans offensive line was second worst at opening yards before contact. So Derrick Henry was garnering elite yards after contact despite getting terrible yards before contact, a situation with which I've just described is harder for a running back to get those yards. So his yards after contact mark is probably the most impressive in the NFL last year. So I think Baltimore is going to be a massive upgrade for Derrick Henry. It's the Ravens enjoyed a league best 2.24 yards before contact per carry. Now, of course, the threat of Lamar Jackson running does help that, but Derrick Henry doesn't lose the threat of Lamar Jackson running. He simply is going to be able to increase that threat and make the Ravens the most feared run game in the NFL. In this system, Derrick Henry, and here's the other thing. Saquon Barkley, we have the tush push concern. I'm not sure we have that with Derrick Henry. Gus Edwards just had 30 carries inside the 10 last year. Gus Edwards, who signed with the Chargers, he had 30 carries inside the 10. He converted those 30 carries into 13 touchdowns. Only Jalen Hurts had more carries inside the 10 become touchdowns last year. So Derrick Henry has monster touchdown upside on this team. He has monster touchdown upside with Baltimore. Keaton Mitchell is coming off a torn ACL, so we don't know when he's going to be ready, but they could just be kind of a thunder and lightning kind of punch. Justice Hill is back. He's a change of pace guy. Derrick Henry, though, we have seen, doesn't necessarily need to have all those receptions to be an elite fantasy back. I don't think he's going to get those receptions this year because he never has, and Gus Edwards was never that guy. But Derrick Henry, to me, is a souped-up version of Gus Edwards. And on a really good team like Baltimore, that matters. We know Derrick Henry is a game-script-dependent running back. He's always performed better when his team wins or when his team is a favorite than when his team loses or his team is an underdog. His team is going to be a favorite and is going to win more games this year than it did in Tennessee last year. This is a massive upgrade spot for Derrick Henry. I love this for Derrick Henry. On Underdog Fantasy, which has its best ball contest out, Derrick Henry is going in the third and fourth round. I don't know, man. If I could start my draft with a couple of wide receivers and get Derrick Henry at the 3-4 turn, that's a pretty good start, in my opinion.
What about the guy that's replacing him in Tennessee, Joe? Tony Pollard. That's an interesting one. I guess I kind of expect him to go back to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a great year for them.
No.
You've called him on this show multiple times the biggest bust, fantasy bust, of the 2023 season. What do you think about him now going ahead and being in Tennessee as the featured guy?
And when I want to clarify that, because I always get Twitter comments whenever Jack posts that comment up. What I meant was Tony Pollard didn't miss games during the season. The Cowboys' offense was good. Their offensive line was still good. They were a good football team. And Tony Pollard was a very poor fantasy finisher despite having the role everybody expected. Now, you could very easily point out that Tony Pollard might have had lost a step coming off of that injury that he suffered in the playoffs against the 49ers last year, and that's fair. Pollard's efficiency, though, and we have to look at the numbers, cratered in his increased role. In 2021 and 2022, he ranked first in yards after contact per carry when he was kind of in that rotation with Zeke Elliott. But in 2023, he was down to 23rd of 41 qualified running backs. And I think they're hoping that, very clearly, he can generate an increase in that yards after contact and that explosiveness that he showed those two seasons with the Cowboys with Tyjae Spears in kind of a rotational piece. What I think the most obvious thing is here, and you're probably talking about this on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, maybe the Business of Football Podcast, is the Titans' spending habits right now at running back, wide receiver. We'll talk about Calvin Ridley on a future show. Cornerback going out and getting Legarius Sneed. The Titans are really trying to find what they have in Will Levis right now. So I think that's why they spent this money on Tony Pollard. I wasn't looking at this as like a something with Brian Callahan where I'm like, oh my God, what's the offensive fit? I thought it was kind of a strange offensive fit. But once they signed Tony Pollard and the moves that they've done after that have kind of made it make more sense. They want to insulate Will Levis and really see what they have with the potential young quarterback there. Tony Pollard to me is not that appealing for fantasy. I'd actually rather take Tyjae Spears a few rounds later, but I am understanding what the Titans are doing in terms of trying to see if Will Levis can take a step forward with what should be a decent supporting cast around him.
I think that's a pretty good point. Couple more I want to get to here, Joe, including Aaron Jones. We talked about him earlier, 3 years older than Jacobs. He's now with the Vikings.
Yeah. The Vikings love getting the Packers sloppy seconds, man. You know, they're always out there. I mean, obviously the most notable one was Brett Favre, who I think you can make the argument Brett Favre's first year with the Vikings was one of the best years of his entire career. And then, of course, the second year didn't go so well for Brett Favre. But, you know, here's the thing about Aaron Jones. I thought he was awesome last year. And number one, I'm surprised the Packers cut him. But I guess they wanted to get younger at the position. Number two, and maybe this is just something teams know that I don't, I am stunned the Dallas Cowboys didn't go after him. Because the Dallas Cowboys, over the last few years, have just watched Aaron Jones run roughshod on them. But so have the Minnesota Vikings. And over Green Bay's final six games last season, Jones had 637 rushing yards on 115 carries. He averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. It wasn't great for fantasy on the year because, obviously, he had the week one hamstring injury and then the midseason knee injury. But what happened was it is clear that Aaron Jones is far from washed up, Ross. It's a one-year deal. He's going to be a 1A kind of complimentary runner. Ty Chandler had some impressive snaps last year. I think Ty Chandler is going to rotate in, but Aaron Jones is the starter here for Minnesota. The question is, what's Minnesota's offense going to look like? Who's going to be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, that's a big factor. I mean, I think they're going to try to run the offense through him and Jefferson, obviously, and a little bit of Addison, but... man, he might face some stacked boxes early if it's Sam Darnold,
no doubt,
or a rookie. The last one, Joe, we'll get to today. I don't understand the Eckler thing. 2 years, $8.4 million? What is the NFL telling us about Eckler that I don't see when I watch him play?
So I will say all the guaranteed money is in the first year for Austin Eckler. So this is essentially a one-year deal. The Commanders could save $3.6 million if they cut him after this year. What I think this is, and I actually don't mind this risk for the Commanders, Anthony Lynn is the running backs coach here. Eckler played for Anthony Lynn in L.A. Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator. The Commander's offense is going to spread things out, and in theory, that helps Austin Eckler when he comes in on third downs and passing downs, and that's what I think he's going to do. This is a 1-2 thunder and lightning running back tandem. I think Austin Eckler played through injury last year, and the Commanders want him to be the kind of the lightning to Brian Robinson's thunder, which is which is absolutely what I think they're going to do. But you could see Austin Eckler's efficiency just drop off a cliff, Ross. Last year, He was 40th of 41 qualified running backs in missed tackles forced per carry. He was 19th the year before. In yards per route run, he was 16th of 48 running backs. The year before, he was 5th in the same category. And you would venture to guess that the injuries that he suffered earlier in the season were a huge factor. That was a high ankle injury, which can zap all kinds of upside. Austin Ekeler is going to have a rotational role in Washington. That's what he's best suited for at this stage of his career.
You got to check him out on social media because he's the man at FG underscore Dolan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Next week's episode, it'll be the rest of the running backs and tight ends, because we still got to talk DeAndre Swift and Singletary and Gibson and Zach Moss and more. Plus, we'll dive into tight end a little bit as well. Other than that, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.